We're turning in our Bibles, please, again, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll read the latter half of the chapter, beginning at the well-known verse of 28. All things work together for good. Romans 8, verse 28, we'll commence our reading. Let's hear the word of the Lord as we read the scriptures together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of His word to every heart this morning. Amen. Let's unite in prayer. Let's stand to pray, please. Our Father in heaven, meet with us. Fill us now with Your grace and power as we turn to the glorious gospel message. We pray that our views of our Savior will be increased, and that our delight and enjoyment of His grace will be multiplied to our souls. We have come to Thy house, perhaps dreary and downcast, but oh, grant that a sight of our Savior will lift up our souls to rejoice in our salvation. Bless Thy people through Thy word. Speak to the lost. Have mercy on wayward souls today. And give power and utterance to the preaching of Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're coming back to Romans 8 in the very last verse of our Bible reading today, verse 39. And indeed, the last half of the verse. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This week it was my lot to attend someone with a number of appointments at hospital. And you begin to learn the system that, you know, you go from GP to specialist to special hospitals and labs, and you do the whole routine of trying to get things checked out. It is sometimes a very frustrating system. And you can find people waiting for hours and hours. as they go through that system. Nevertheless, the option is to be left alone. And sooner or later, if you want to get medical help, you have to get into the system. Even the poor, unfortunate person lying along the roadside, if you find someone injured or ill, the need, of course, is to dial 911, get them to the emergency, get them into the system. Or if you were to suddenly take ill at home, similarly, you call for the ambulance, you get into the emergency, and you get into that system. Now, to neglect that, well, you'll probably die young. To refuse to go through the bureaucracy, the frustrations, and sometimes the restrictions of the system, you're totally on your own, and you won't get that care and treatment that you will need. Now, you could know about the health system. You could know how it works. You might even marvel at the recent advances in the modern drugs that are being used to help various problems, and you might talk about them and tell others about them. But when in need, unless you get into the system, you're not going to get the help. You're on your own. The same is true for salvation. There is a system, there's a formula that God has ordained for sinners to find the remedy for their sin. And when you recognize that you are out of tune with God, you've broken His law, you're guilty, condemned, lost, and you need to be saved, here is God's formula. Now, in Romans chapter 8, you have the gospel work majored upon. That work in the believer's heart when we are saved. Chapter 8 of Romans is the chapter of the Spirit. It is the chapter of the Holy Ghost doing that miraculous work within the soul. In verses 29 and 30, you have what we call the golden chain from God loving us, predestinating us, calling us. Then He justifies us. And the final link in the gospel chain is glorification unto glory. So here is a chapter of God's Word that has it all. But there is a formula that you must address, you must recognize. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now you'll notice that Romans chapter 1 begins with that same formula. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then the chapter ends with this same repeated formula. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I bring your attention to this because it is God's way of saving your soul. It is God's way of bringing you out of the disease of sin into the perfect health of God's salvation. Now, there are three things I want to say about this particular formula in Romans 8:39. I want us to dwell upon the reason behind the formula. The love of God. There it is. It's as simple as that. The reason behind the formula. The love of God. And then there is the redemption behind the formula. Christ Jesus. And you'll notice the order of the words. Not Jesus Christ, it's Christ Jesus. We're to look at His office, His work in redeeming our souls. And then also in the formula, you'll notice our responsibilities. Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it is our responsibility to make Him our Lord. So there's the sermon on this formula. The great reason is the love of God. You'll notice that it is a God-centered reason behind this formula. God-centered. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the heart of God is moved to love sinners. That's the gospel, through and through. The heart of God is moved in infinite, eternal love for men. It's the love of God. It's not the love of the Apostle Paul. And the focus here is not the love of the Lord Jesus at this point. The focus is not the love of angels, it's the love of God the Father. And this is the starting point. It is the cause, the fountain of our salvation. It was born in the heart of God, this love toward men. Now, if God Himself was not moved to love fallen men, there would be no hope. The world would be everlastingly, hopelessly lost. If God was set on damning men, He would find a thousand ways to do it. Our sins would add up immediately to a million condemnations. But God, in His sovereign, mysterious mercy, found a way not to damn us, but to save us. And it's right here in this very formula. Now, if justice alone was to speak, it would be to ruin every child of Adam. But justice must give way to the mercy of God. And the heart of God that was full of mercy, this is His darling attribute. In the revelation God gave to Moses, and Moses say, Lord, show me Thy glory. And God said, I will cause all My goodness to pass before Thee. The first of God's attributes is His mercy. That's the darling attribute of God the Father. He is not an ogre in the heavens with a club waiting to damn sinners at every first possibility. But rather, He is the one who has opened His heart and opened His heaven to the grace, the salvation, and salvation of the lost. Now, sticking with this 8th chapter of Romans, we see some further detail on this love of God. In verse 29, notice that it is eternal love. Whom He did foreknow. Now, it's not that God looked down the pipeline of time and He saw you in advance of time. That He saw you and saw some good in you. No, God, if He did look down the pipeline of time and He saw me or you, what would He have seen? A sinner worthy of destruction. No reason for salvation. No reason for hope. A lost soul. But God did not just look down the pipeline of time and see you in your daily existence on the slippery slope down into hell. God foreloved you. That's what the word foreknow means. And by biblical comparison, it can be proven. One proof text is Matthew 7. Where the Lord Jesus said, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. And that doesn't mean that God has no recollection of them or no knowledge of them. It means, depart from me, ye cursed, I never set my love on you. But here in Romans 8:29 it says, whom He foreknew, whom He did foreknow, there is eternal love. Yes, it's also an electing love. Verse 33 says so. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That means God set His love on His people whom He would save. He marked every one of them as His sheep. And in John 10 we're told, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it's eternal love, it's electing love, this love of God, and it is efficient love. Back in verse 29, whom he did foreknow to be conformed to the image of his Son. Efficient. There's a purpose in it. It's not a casual love, but it has built within it a predetermined program. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That means to pre-program your destiny to be conformed to the image of his Son. And when God sets his mind to save a soul, and he sends forth his grace, he brings them into union with his Son, and he changes them into the likeness of his Son to bring them to glory. There is the love of God. It's not an ethereal, mysterious, unquantifiable love, but rather it is effectual. It is efficient. Its purpose and its end is carried out thoroughly by the power of God. Now, when this love was moving in the heart of God from eternity past, before the world was even created, before there was a place called Calvary, before there was a Roman Empire, never mind a Roman gibbet, God looked for a Savior to save his people, whom he set his love upon, whom he would predestinate to glory. He looked around, sons of men, could find none. He looked around the angels, he could find none, for they were all creature, finite beings. Then the Father looked upon his Son. And remember what we learned from last week, Proverbs 8, the darling of his bosom, the one who was daily his delight. And God the Father looked upon his Son, and he found the one. He found the Savior who was equipped, or who would be equipped, and who would go down amongst men to save them from sin. And so God sent his Son. Do I need to go through the Scriptures to show you his divine appointment? He was made that covenant mediator, that he is, as we find here in Romans 8:21. Let's look at some of these verses. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Here is the appointed Savior. Here is the mediator. Here's the way to the Father. And God declared that his Son would be that Redeemer. So here we have the great reason for this formula. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God appointed him. God sent him. God declared him at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That his resurrection raised him from the dead. At Pentecost, poured out the Spirit at the preaching of the name of Jesus. It was asked, how can these things be? The answer was, this was done in the name of God's Son, the Holy Child Jesus. And the apostles went forth preaching this name of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father sent us. Philip went to the Ethiopian and preached unto him Jesus. So I present to you today God's formula, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And unless you are in the system, unless you are in and have accepted God's way of saving your soul, you are outside the love of God. God is love, but you are not in the way of God's salvation. You have not accepted the terms of God's salvation. You are a freelancer. You're like the one who feels the illness or the pain in the body, but refuses to follow the medical system. Here is God's way for you to be saved. Then I want us to think of the redemption that is behind this reason, this formula, the redemption, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in the broader scope of the verse, we need to look into the word separate. Who shall separate, who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? And that was the problem, separation from God. Separation from God is the whole issue. And that's what sin has done. That's what man's sinful carnal nature has done. Separated from God. And that's your state today, out of Christ. But God's way, God's answer to the separation is redemption through His Son. And this redemption is the mighty, wonderful plan of God. Our Lord Jesus came to bridge the gulf, the distance that separates you and God. Our Lord Jesus came into the world not just to live a pretty life, but to stand in the sinner's place and fulfill every work, every obligation that would build a bridge between your lost, separate standing from God. And every day, every week, every year, every work, every word that He performed and uttered was building that bridge of redemption that would reconcile you to a holy God. And in the midst of all this, this redemption, you'll notice that it is in Christ Jesus. That little preposition, in Christ Jesus. You must be in Him, because this reconciliation with God, this redemption, this being bought back out of bondage into fellowship with God, it is in the Lord Jesus. This redemption is in His birth, the preparation of His body, the miracle in Mary's womb, a virgin conception and birth, which brought forth a miraculous person. A sinless person. He was human, fashioned in the form of man, but sinless man. He was not only perfect humanity, but He was united to Godhood, deity. He was the unique man, the God-man, God in the flesh. This is the one in whom is the answer to our separation, in whom we are redeemed. His birth, being miraculous, produced a man who would redeem us from that separation. That redemption is also in the banishment on the cross, forsaken of God. And our Lord Jesus, in the mystery of Calvary, during those dark hours of His death and crucifixion, when the sun refused to shine, when men stared at a distance in the darkness, God was punishing His Son. And in that separation between the Son and the Father, between that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is the answer to our separation. That He made Himself separate from God, that we would not be separate from God, but that that bridge was being built step by step in His work, in His life, and in His death. I believe in this formula of salvation, for the Lord Jesus was banished for me. Love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's in His birth, it's in His body. This redemption is also in His blood that He poured out on that cross. There you will find the love of God in liquid form, in the scarlet red sufferings and the blood shedding of the Son. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. this formula of salvation demands your faith in Jesus' blood. Oh yes, you must believe in His body. He became real man. You must believe that He was banished on that cross, that He actually suffered. But the power, entrance into God's presence is by faith in His blood. I turn you back to Romans 3:25. You'll notice that these are the exact words of the apostle as he expounds the gospel to these Romans. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Now let me explain, the word propitiation is a very simple meaning really. To turn away God's wrath. Turn away God's anger. You're here today sensing God's anger toward you. That you are in debt, that you are banished from God, that you have a separation between you and God. Here is the answer. Whom God hath set forth to be a turning away of that wrath through faith in His blood. When God comes to look upon your soul, He's not looking for your goodness. He's not looking for your own accomplishments. He's looking for blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus applied to your heart by faith. And if you have come into Christ, you have accepted the formula, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, in this second person of the Trinity who became man, who was banished on that cross, and whose blood was poured out for you. There's the answer to separation. And there is that redemption that is all yours through faith in the Lord Jesus. Then it's also in the beauty of His righteousness. The righteousness, the perfect, earned goodness, the perfect living of the Lord Jesus. He was the perfect man. And the gospel tells us that that goodness, that inherent merit, that credit is put to your account. When you trust in the Lord Jesus, when you are in Christ Jesus, you are in Him, clothed in His righteousness, and you stand dressed in beauty, not your own, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. It's also in the spiritual bonds of union with the Lord Jesus. The wonder of the gospel is that we become united to the Lord Jesus. That's the miracle of this little formula. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And believers, Christians, who are saved from sin, are legally, spiritually, united to the Lord Jesus. In the Bible, it is described as the union of the lamp. The lampstand with the branches of the lamp. It's called the Jewish menorah, the seven-branch lampstand. The center branch, or the center, is the shaft. That's one. Three to each side, with the candles burning, the oil burning in that lampstand. Now, there you have the perfect picture of the union between believers and the Lord Jesus, for several reasons. The center shaft is Christ. The three to each side, three and three is six, the number of man. Joined to the center is the number seven, perfect. And when you are united to the Lord Jesus, you are made perfect in union with Him. The other thing we know about that lamp in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, it was beaten out of one lump of gold. The goldsmith took that one lump of gold, a talent of gold, and from that one lump, there were no wells, there were no joints. It was one lump that was hammered into shape of a beautiful lampstand, shaft and branches. And in the plan of the gospel, those that were once separate from Christ, that were no longer the people of God, by grace, by faith, by redemption, are made to be in union with the Lord Jesus, perfect in Him. It's otherwise described as members in the body. Christ is the head. We are members in the body. What a union it is. It's also described as a marriage union. Now, when you're married, everything that your spouse is and has is yours. That's the way it is. And after your wedding, the first bill that comes in, it's not his bill, and it's not just her bill. It's a shared bill. True, of course, the same is true, of course, for the checks that come in, payments that come in. Not just his money or her money, it's their money. And when we are married to the Lord Jesus, we may be very poor personally, but we are married to one who is rich in grace, who has all riches in the glory. And by our union to Him, by being in Him, we have title to glory, legal standing with God, and every privilege in fellowship with our Lord Jesus. And so this is the answer to separation, redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. Now comes our responsibilities. The last little part of the formula, Christ Jesus, our Lord. The responsibilities that behoove you to follow this formula. Knowing the formula, you're responsible to use it. Neglect it, you're lost. For here is the keys of the kingdom. The very key of salvation, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and everything that God has for sinners, for you, is in His Son. There's no other way, there's no other plan, there is no other gospel, there's no variation to it, there are no exceptions to it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is only in Him that you find God's grace and God's salvation. And so to neglect the formula, it's like the person who won't use the medical system. They won't get into the system. Now, when it comes to our medical health system, there are many flaws in it, many loopholes in it. And you may despise it, and you may have some criticism of it. But let me tell you this, when it comes to God's formula, it is God's wisdom. And to neglect God's formula of redemption is to despise the wisdom of God, to despise God's way of redeeming men from their sin. But also, it is to despise His Son. God has so ordained the gospel, so ordained the way of mercy to sinners, that everything is wrapped up in His Son. He is the central figure. He's the shaft of the branch. He is the head of the body. He is the husband of the bride. He is central to it all. And if we say no to the formula, we despise the Son of God. Like not going through the ambassador when the country has delegated that ambassador to represent it, bypassing, circumventing, finding another way, having an independent mind and spirit. It is to stubbornly refuse God's way of salvation. And so this is your responsibility, to follow God's way, God's formula. You're also responsible because you're responsible for your own separation from God. The fact that you are separated from God by sin, that's your responsibility. God had no hand in that. God had no part in your depravity and wicked state and the actual sins that you've committed against Him. That is your responsibility. And you are separated from Him by nature. And so this formula makes you responsible to see that the Lord Jesus is your Lord. Notice how it ends. Romans 8:39, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is He your Lord? Here really is the battle for your soul. And it's a battle between the old proud self and coming to the feet of the Lord Jesus as a little child. That's the issue here. Self resists this. Pet sins may resist this. For you must renounce all sin to make Christ Lord of your life. Lord of your life. Every lust of the flesh must be slain at the cross to make our Lord Jesus the Lord of your life. Is He? Or are you fighting that battle today? Is that struggle going on in your heart? Oh, heaven would be nice. The truth is good, but to make Jesus Lord of my life, that's just too much for me right now. And you would fight and resist every loss of self-government. You would hold out to be your own master and your own Lord. Well, that would be very good if you were free. That would be good reasoning if you were a free person, but you're not. That would be fine if you weren't in debt. But in the ledger of God's accounting, you are guilty. Red to the hilt. You're not free. And well, you might say, I'll be my own Lord, if Satan did not already lord over you. Because every man is a slave to someone. And if the Lord Jesus is not Lord of your life, the world, flesh, and Satan are. The Egyptians, whenever they were making bricks for Pharaoh, and Moses came along to deliver them, they may well have said to Moses, oh, we don't need to leave Goshen. We've got freedom to farm. We've got freedom to run our lives the way we wish. We've got many liberties and freedoms here. But they hadn't. They were bond slaves in the deepest miseries. And generation after generation was destined to further bondage. There was no way out. And so when Moses came with the way of deliverance through the Red Sea, well, that came later, but eventually was through the Red Sea. Every Israelite in Egypt, because of their bondage, would have rejoiced in the deliverance that was coming. They needed a deliverer. And if you were a free man, if you were a free woman, to live in true liberty and not a slave to sin, not a slave to this world, you wouldn't need to have the Lord Jesus to be your Lord. You could say, I don't need Him. But the fact that you're a slave, the fact that all sinners are slaves, you need a deliverer. You need a Savior from all sin. Therefore, you need a mightier conqueror to come and deliver you. God the Father has ordained that to be His Son. He says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. Surrender all to the Son. And this is the final part of the salvation formula which you must sign on to if you would be saved, to make the Lord Jesus your Lord. And until you make Him your Lord, you're not saved. You're still in bondage. You're still in debt. You're still a slave. Have you made the Lord Jesus your head? Have you given Him your heart, your home? If not, surrender now. Now is the accepted time. And this is the person who will never be separate from God. When you read Romans 8:39 in its entirety, that neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the person that will never be separate from God. The one who is in Christ Jesus, who has made the Lord Jesus their Lord. They will never be separate from Him. Believers will be with God for all eternity. But those who will not make Him their Lord are separate and will be separate from Him from all eternity. And instead of entering into eternal life with God, will be separate from Him out into eternal death. Are you surrendered to the Lord Jesus? Have you made Him the Lord of your life? It's your responsibility. So we have here the reason of the formula. The mighty heart of God that loves sinners. We have the redemption, the work our Lord Jesus undertook for you, and the responsibility to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're not saved today. You have a great responsibility. Come and accept God's way, God's formula, God's plan of salvation, or face separation for all eternity. It's a no-brainer. You don't have to think on this one. It's a matter of surrender. It's a matter of yielding as a little child at the feet of the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, I make thee king of my life. I make thee to be Lord and owner. I become your property. Lock, stock and barrel, from head to toe, all of me, all of what I am and who I am, I give myself away to thee. Oh, today, rejoice, but enter in, and be sure you're saved. If you're not saved today, this is your urgent, urgent responsibility.